for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2005 Thanksgiving Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campground in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Thursday evening, November the 24th, 2005. Speaker of the evening is Stan Johnson.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. A few years ago, the Lord gave me a revelation on something that was really troubling me. This missionary came to Lawrence, South Carolina. He had been on the mission field, and he had this tremendous rage and anger that would manifest at times on the mission field, and it would embarrass his wife. It would embarrass, you know, the people there, and so he came to our city there. this is a long time ago, and he wanted to be delivered. You know, a lot of people called me up from different states and say, I need to be set free, and I can't find people that do it. Will you minister to me? I mean, what are we going to say standing before God when He tells us as believers we're supposed to cast out spirits? And so he came to the city there, and my brother, he was my pastor, still is, I guess, and he was busy, and he said, I want you to go let Stan and Betty minister deliverance to you. And so he comes out to my house, and he's just walking back and forth in my house, upset because my brother didn't minister to him. And he said, Stan Johnson, I'll tell you something. If you get this stuff stirred up in me, I'll tear your house up. And I look over at my little wife, 100 pounds. Listen, I've tried binding and loosing. I've tried binding the devil. I never saw any result binding the devil, and I don't believe you can legally bind him. I think you're wasting your breath if you try to bind Satan. There's an angel of God that's going to bind him and tie him up, put him in a pit for 1,000 years, and until then, God says he walks to and fro in the earth, seeking whom he might devour. And so I tried binding the devil. I always tried to figure out who the strong man was, you know. Rage, is that a strong man? Violence, is that the strong man? Anger, is that, I never could figure out who the strong man was. And so, normally, you know, if you get spirits stirred up in somebody and they start carrying on, you know, frailing around, you end up holding their hands or their feet or getting somebody to help you hold them till you get the demons out. So that was my experience. And when he said that to me, it's like, whoa, Betty could probably hold a half a leg, maybe. And that would leave two arms and a leg and a half for me to hold, get these spirits out of that man. And so I asked God what I should do. He said, you tell him to go humble himself and fast, and then he can get set free. And so I told him that. Boy, he got upset. He got upset. Now, I'm talking to God. God, what am I going to do if I run into somebody out there on the street like Philip and some of those disciples, and I don't have somebody to help me hold people down? Now, if I didn't get scared, I got that close. And I asked God what I was going to do. Well, I think it was the next night. God gave me a revelation where you never have to be afraid of anything. You don't have to be afraid of the devil. You don't have to be afraid of a 500-pound box-kicking wrestler or whatever. And here's how I did it. I was ministering to this teenage boy, about 19 years old. And after the service, I said, son, what do you want to go free from? He said, I've got this rage and anger problem, and I want to go free. He said, my daddy used to discipline me, send me to bed without supper, and I'd sit up there all night long just boiling. And so I said, okay, the only way you're going to go free is to forgive your daddy. Are you willing to do it? Well, I'm going to try to do it. So halfway through the prayer, he rolls away from me over against the piano, and he's kicking the piano over there for all he could kick. I mean to tell you, he is kicking that piano. And as he's kicking the piano, he's saying, I hate you. That spirit toward his dad. I hate you. And I'm sitting there, oh my goodness, I got to go over and hold that kid, you know, and as tired as I am, I don't feel like it. Before I could get up off my chair, God spoke to me. Very unusually does he ever speak that clear and loud to me. But he said to me, bind his feet according to Matthew 18:18. And I'm sitting there, I never bound anybody's feet. I've held their feet before. And I'm sitting there watching him kick that piano violently with his feet. And I'm sitting there listening to what God said and trying to figure out how I could bind his feet. God repeated it. He said, bind his feet according to Matthew 18:18. So I just said, I bind your feet according to Matthew 18:18. And his feet went just like that, an invisible rope around them, and tied them up. I said, my goodness, that thing worked. Whoa, I've never seen anything like that. Well, the Spirit sent him, got very upset. So here they're pounding the floor now. He couldn't move his feet. He was tied up. So he's pounding that floor. I hate you, I hate you. And God says, bind his hands. Whatever you bind on earth, there are hands on earth that you can see. You can see feet. I said, I bind your hands according to Matthew 18:18. And instantly his hands went to the floor like you nailed them down there. He could move everything but his hands and feet. But boy, I'm telling you, his hands and feet were tied up. God says, now you've got the strong man bound. Spoil his house and take the goods out. I said, I see. I see. God didn't say bind the strong principality. He didn't say bind the strong demon. God knows how to spell. He said bind the strong man. M-A-N is a man. There's a man right there. 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 So from then on, God led us into cases to where we could bind things on earth that just opened our eyes, our understanding, and look, if God be for you, who in the world could be against you?
Amen.
I was over in Ireland ministering over there. I've been over there 4 times teaching them spiritual warfare and ministering to those Catholics. Tremendous move of God among the Catholics at one time over there. I hadn't been over there in quite a few years. And Satan started putting that fire out over there. Mariology started coming forth. Mary and her virgin. And Hail Mary, full of grace. And this and that. And it was like they were putting her before Christ there. And so I saw that leaven coming in over there after I had done some work in Ireland. But one man in a meeting over there, this place was full. A lot of priests, nuns. Listen, they want to learn about deliverance. People want to understand things. You know what people fear? They fear what they don't understand.
Amen.
Once you understand, like the demoniac, when Jesus set him free from a legion of devils and everybody in that area knew about him, when he came back to his right mind and went knocking on doors, hey, it's me, man, what are you here? I'm not naked anymore. I've come back to my right mind. Jesus cast spirits out of me. And by the way, if he ever comes back, you probably need some deliverance too. You know what happened when he came back? The people gladly received him, for they're all waiting for him. So once people understand that they can be free from their torments and their bondages and all, they'll flock into this place when they find that out there. You got to tell people that deliverance is the children's bread. And here I was in Ireland. I was praying for people. I'd go from person to person in this real big circle there and laying hands on them and ministering the way God would show me. And this one man, he wouldn't look at me. He was looking down like that. And I said, can I pray for you? He nodded like, yes, like that. But he wouldn't look at me. So here I'm praying for him, and all of a sudden, those spirits manifest in him, and I could just see the devil in his face. He raised both fists, jumped up out of his chair, raised both fists over his eye, head, and said, I hate you! And I said, yeah, and I bind your hands in Jesus' name. You know what God did? Held his hands over his head for about 5 minutes. Wouldn't let him move them. I walked right up to the man. God was holding him. I said, the Lord loves you. And there's some stuff in you that won't hurt me. God is my shield. He's my fortress. He loves you. And he wants that evil stuff out of you. All you got to do is want it out,
yeah.
Be willing to turn from that life. And for about 5 minutes, I witnessed to the man. God Holden would not let him move his hand up over his head like that. And I'm sitting there, oh my goodness, this is awesome. So finally, I said, do you want to go free? He nodded his head, yes. And I said, I loose you in the name of Jesus. That means to untie, unfasten, unrestrain. And when I loosed the man, he hit the floor with his knees, lifted his hands in the sky, and said, oh, I love you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for setting me free. Thank you, Lord, for setting me free. So like the woman that was bound with a spirit of infirmity, you know what Jesus did? He said, woman, I loose you, I untie you. So let me illustrate that just a little bit. You know, God uses me to put pictures in people, visual pictures. So I'm going to give you a visual picture of binding and loosing. I'm getting around to telling you about that book there. Can I use you? Come in. Now listen, let me give you some deep teaching. Jesus said, Peter, hallelujah, they're here somewhere. Jesus said, Peter, all power has been given to me in heaven and in earth. And I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means harm you.
Amen.
Nothing can harm us. Wow. Now, Peter, with this one, you can bind things on earth. Whatever you bind on earth, what's on earth is what you see with your earth eyes. You can't see demons. You can't see in the invisible realm. But you can see in the earth realm. You can see a lion. You can see a tiger. You can see a man that's trying to destroy you or hurt you, rape you, kidnap your children. You can see those kind of people. He said, now with this key, Peter, you can bind things on earth. And he said, and my Father who is in heaven will bind it in that heaven realm. Now that's the demonic realm. So this guy's acting up here. Deliverance lady, how about saying, I bind you in the name of Jesus. Sort of do a little. See him acting up.
I bind your hands in the name of Jesus.
Bind him, period.
Oh, I bind you in Jesus' name.
Okay, buddy. Now listen, you know who does this? The angels of God, they hearken to the voice of His commandments. Not your commandments. You speak God's commandments, and she put the voice to it. And these angels that excel in strength, boy, they're strong. These angels hearken to the voice of His commandments. Look at that. Act it up. Now, I had to tie you up, because she bound you. Say, come out of there, Legion.
Come out of there, Legion.
Wow. Got him free. Now, you going to leave him tied up, or are you going to loose him?
Oh, I loose him in Jesus' name.
That means to untie. Isn't that deep teaching? Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Jesus said, by my Father who is in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, that means to untie, will be untied. Daniel was in a den, and that lion, you know what? The lion held the lion, the angel held the lion's mouth, bound his mouth. What would you bind if you were in a lion's den? Would you try to figure out which demon was in the lion or whatever and bind him? Or would you bind something on earth and let the angel of the Lord bind that lion? Hallelujah. Man, I'm telling you, it's exciting when you see God holding something on earth. Betty and I have seen that for years. I've seen her with a 400 or 500 pound man full of devils, karate, and all that stuff. And she'll point her finger at him and say, I bind you in Jesus' name. And these people freeze just like this. Sometimes their hands go just like this when you do it. Sometimes their feet go together. You bind them on earth, and God will bind them into heaven realm. Did y'all hear that about Billy Joe Daugherty there in Oklahoma? I hadn't heard it, but I heard it on the from my brother today. He's ministering up in Pittsburgh. He said, Stan, he said, this guy just clobbered Billy Joe twice, hit him. They were out ministering to people, and he's a man of God, Billy Joe Daugherty. And I sent him one of my books about how to do this. I doubt if it got through the four or five executive vice presidents and dozens secretaries. But I'm going to call him up and say, hey, Pastor Billy Joe, I sent you something. You better read it. You know. But anyway, you can tie things up on earth. You can bind things on earth. Let me tell you what my wife did. She and I came back from this trip. I was out ministering this about my book. And this had never happened before. I had my car outside of the garage there, and I have the storm door propped open coming into my house. This bird flew right into my house through that storm door. Now, I got me one of these hits that happened, just to show you what happened. Now, honest, this bird flew in my house. He's flying from the kitchen to the den. Kitchen to the den. And I'm saying, Daddy, how am I going to get the bird out of the house? I got me a broom, opened up the sliding glass door on the porch, and I said, well, I'll try to shoo him out on one of those doors there. And so I get my broom, and I'm, shoo, get out there, get out there. And he'd fly to another area of the house. So finally, he's there hanging on to my fireplace. I've got the bricks over my, you know, there. They can just hold on there and just look at you, you know, like that. And I said, Betty, how am I going to get this bird out of my house? So I tried to shoo him one more time. He flew over there in the kitchen, on the kitchen window, honest, just like this. He was sitting there. And I said, Betty, I'm so tired, I got to get this bird out of my house. She said, be still, man. She'd been hearing me teach all week, see. She said, she walked over about this far from that bird, and she pointed her finger and said, bird, you're something on earth. I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. And she said, now take this towel and go over and take that bird outside. I'm sitting there. Does she think that's going to work? The bird's something on earth. He gave them dominion over the fowls of the air, over the creeping things, over the cattle. He gave them dominion over it. Adam gave it to the devil. He gave the devil dominion over that stuff. And do you know what Satan started doing when he could bind and loose? He started binding people. He took the keys and he can bind people with them. Jesus went down in there and got the keys back from him and gave to Peter. So here I take this towel. I'm sitting there. Oh, good. So here I got this towel and I'm going to come in real easy like this from both sides. He just sits there. I pick him up like that in my towel. I take him outside through the garage door and put him on the driveway. Set him down there, and he's just sitting there. And I said, Betty, you ain't gonna hurt the bird? And I'm standing there looking down on that bird. She said, bird, I loose you in the name of Jesus Christ. And honest to God, no exaggeration, that bird took off. You're talking about building my faith. Whatever you bind on earth, that means to tie up, will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven by my Father, Jesus said, who's in heaven. Now, he works good in that heaven realm. Now, here's what you do in that the heaven realm. Jesus either casts the spirits out of people or he loosed the people from the spirits. One of those two. Only thing he ever did. I loose you, woman, from your infirmity. How do you think Jesus walked through a crowd there in the beginning of his ministry that wanted to throw him off a cliff and they had him right at the edge? He had the key. All he had to say was, I bind every one of you people in Jesus. I mean, I bind you. He was Jesus. And you know what? The Bible says he just passed right through them. Hallelujah. Praise God. People have tried to hurt me in my ministry, and I have quoted that scripture, God is my shield and my fortress, and all of a sudden I feel something come in front of me. That's my shield. I will say of the Lord, Psalm 91, you got to say it. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress. In him I will trust. You've got a shield that nothing can hit you, get you in. Hallelujah.
My brother said last night, he was ministering with this Johnny Jones. He's a pastor in that area that travels with my brother some to minister. And he says, Stan, we were up in Richmond, Virginia, ministering. And this big old guy started to attack Johnny. Johnny Jones, he's a black brother, precious guy. And he said, you're not going to heal me. I'm going to hurt you. And he said, you're not going to hurt me in the name of Jesus Christ. And so he gave this Johnny a big shove. I mean, he really gave him a shove. And my brother's looking over there watching all this stuff. And the guy looked over at my brother, cut his eyes over. He said, I don't like you either. I'm going to get you too. And my brother said, I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. And Owen told me today on the phone, that man just went like this, limp. And they cast the spirits out of him. You can bind things on earth. That book is full of experiences that Betty and I have had on this binding and loosing thing. God just keeps opening that up. It's awesome. Keys to bind anything on earth that you see. This woman down in South Carolina, Lower South Carolina, where I taught this, she got this book, and she had fire ant problems out in her backyard. She'd pour something on the hill trying to kill them, and they'd just move to another part of the yard. And so finally, she said, I'm going to try that binding thing. She stood over that ant hill. Now, they're creeping things. Ants are creeping things. And she said, ants, I bind every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, according to Matthew 18. She said, Pastor Owen, my brother called me after she told him. She said, there's not an ant in my backyard. Now, I don't know where they were tied up, where they couldn't eat. Starved to death. I don't know how that part works. But I know you can bind things on earth. And you can loose people on earth. Jesus said, you go out and preach deliverance to the captives. You go out and loose people that are bound. That means to untie them. It means to untie people. Hallelujah. So that book's back there. Some people don't like to read. And some of them got me to put it on a 4-CD thing right here. I mean, I read my own book to you on 4 CDs there. I can read my book to you while you're driving your car, doing whatever. And that's back there on the table. Also, this is something that several years ago, the Lord started teaching me how to use the website for His benefit. So I had some teachings up there, and they're all free, and audio, video teachings. You'll see that God uses me with a lot of objects to illustrate Scripture, to make it come alive. So then He told me to put a deliverance, live deliverance on my website, where people from all over the world, and I have them from many different countries, some Muslim countries, they go there and click on what's called live deliverance. Whatever they're in bondage to, I address about 500 spirits there, and they can click on whichever ones they want to be free from. For example, if they got a fear of darkness, fear of cancer, or whatever, they click on that, and my pre-recorded voice says, God did not give you a spirit of fear, but He gave you power and love and a sound mind. Come out of there, you fear. Come out of there, you torments. And they come out. They come out. Listen. God didn't give you torment. He didn't give you bondage. And there's about over 500 areas that you can be set free. Pornography. Many people are getting cooked on pornography. Many ministers are getting hooked on pornography. I'm telling you, don't use your eyes for pornography. It'll destroy you. Satan will get a hook in you. And you talk about a bondage. Man, I'm telling you, you'll be in bondage. You get into that pornography. So there's 4 CDs right there where I cast over 500 areas of bondage out. And people go to that thing from other countries. I don't know who's going there, but I know what country and city is going there. So those are back there on the table. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm going to put these here on the end. Now, you're probably wondering what all this stuff is. Thought you'd never ask. Thought you'd never ask what this was. I got to take this coat off. Now, I start off, you know, real cool, religious, you know. I've got my tie and coat on, everything. But I get hot in ministry. Amen. So since y'all know I have a coat and tie, I'm going to take it off. God says to bless those that curse you. So, Lord, we bless this man that designed that thing. Can you imagine sitting down and designing something to go around somebody's neck, to rub their neck, to feel like you're choking them, and causing people to give it to you for birthday and Christmas? That guy needed to come to Lake Hamilton and get set free. It's like Glenn's already been set free. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let me read you something. Both hands. Praise God. I'll see if this will work. So I'm going to read you a scripture here. And it's shocking what you're going to see tonight. You know, God says, Selah. And that means think about what you just read until you get understanding about it. And so God told me, He said, I'm going to give you a ministry that people will call foolish. But He said, I choose foolish things to confound the wise.
Yes.
He told me that. Hallelujah. All right, look in Proverbs chapter 19. God's Word is so good. Verse 27. Proverbs 19:27. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causes to err from the words of knowledge. An ungodly witness scorneth judgment, and the mouth of the wicked devoureth iniquity. Did you know that you eat iniquity with your mouth? God says you can eat iniquity with your mouth. Let me find something up here. Call it iniquity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just say this is iniquity. If that thing gets inside of you, it can make you do things you hate. It can make you do things you don't allow yourself to do. And it can hinder you from doing good things you want to do. Now, that's the law that Paul was describing in Romans chapter 7. Now, God says your mouth can eat that thing. Your mouth can eat something that makes you do things you hate and don't allow yourself to do. Now, let's follow that up with God's Word. Let's go to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 45. Look at verse 3. Isaiah 45:3. Now, this is God talking. Do y'all believe that God's Word is true? You believe He talks to people today? He does through here. This is how God really talks to me, is through His Word. God says in verse 3, and I will give thee the treasures of darkness. I'm going to give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. Verse 7, God says, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. He's talking about creating evil. God creates evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Proverbs 16:4. Let's go there real quick. Another good scripture to back that up. The Lord hath made all things for Himself, yea, even the wicked, for the day of evil. God made the wicked for the day of evil. Now, in Colossians, and I'm not going to go there, y'all are familiar with these scriptures, God says, He made all things, whether they be thrones, powers, dominions, principalities, powers. He made all those things. What do we wrestle against? We wrestle against principalities and powers. That's what we wrestle against. Things God made. It'll come to you in a minute. You'll see it. God made this thing right here and planted it in the garden and told Adam not to eat off of that thing. He created that evil that was in that garden. God made it and planted it and says, Adam, if you eat off of this, you'll die. Adam had never died. He had never eaten evil. He had never eaten iniquity. He didn't know what iniquity would be like. You don't know what hate's like until you eat it, get it in your life. You don't know what rage is like until it gets in your life. I got a good little illustration for that one. You know, if this guy eats off that tree and gets rage in him, you'll see how it'll manifest. It's called a work of the flesh. Look at him. He's got something inside of him. He's got something in him. Do y'all ever have to hang a picture in your house over strange areas where you lost it and maybe punched a hole in the wall? You've eaten something, and it's manifesting in you. Hallelujah. The work of the flesh, you know what Jesus came to save us from? The works of the flesh. That's what He came to save us from. He came to save us from wrath and anger, from murder, from adultery, from fornication, from all those evil and wicked things that people are into right now. That's what He came to save us from. He came to save us from our sins. So you can be saved from that wrath that's working in your life, that's causing you to mess up your home, and your wife, and all that kind of stuff. So God planted that tree. Let me show you. If you eat off of that tree, you see that chain right there? It's going to produce bondage in your life. You eat off that tree, you're going to be in bondage. Different degrees of bondage, but if you eat enough of that tree, you're going to really be in trouble. That same tree that Adam ate off of and Eve ate off of is available today that you can eat off of it. Same tree is available. You can still partake of pride. You can eat pride. You can eat rebellion today. You can say, I'm not going to submit to authority, the laws of the land, the laws here at Lake Hamilton Campground. You can say, I'm not going to submit to that. You're just eating some rebellion. You're eating stubbornness. That's on that tree. Now, if you partake of that tree, you're going to have some ugly manifesting inside of you. Look at that ugly thing. You're going to have something ugly in you. Those works of the flesh that are ugly. Adultery is ugly. Murder is ugly. Wrath is ugly. Hatred is ugly. So you eat off that tree, you're going to have something manifesting inside of you that's ugly. Hallelujah. Now this is what Jesus came to set us free from. Now I want to show you something that He came to save us from. It's powerful. What God showed me about this thing. Let me illustrate it to you. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know what He really came to save you from? I was driving from New York area back south years ago, and I was driving my car. Betty was sleeping in the front seat. And I saw this thing in the Spirit. God just is like a movie. He showed me this thing. He said, you're going to teach my people that sin is more than something they do wrong. It's a presence. It's a presence. You're going to teach with something like this. The only difference in what God showed me in the Spirit was these two eyes here were white. Now, let me just play a little game here with you. Just replay a scripture to you. Hallelujah. Genesis 4:7. There's a story there about Cain and Abel. And we know the story. And here's God giving us some wisdom out of His Word. He said, Cain, there's something lying at your door and his desires for you. Sin is lying at your door and his desire is for you. God says, if you do well, Cain, you're going to be accepted. But if you don't, sin is lying at your door and his desires for you. Now, if sin could get inside of Cain, he could make him do a work of the flesh. One of them was murder. So God was trying to warn him. He said, sin's there. Sin's at your door, Cain, and he wants you. Sin's there at your door. If he can get inside of your life, Paul says he can control you, or he'll try to. We're to submit ourselves to God and resist sin, reckon ourselves dead to sin, and not let us have to serve that thing. If that thing gets inside of you, he will make you or try his best to force you to disobey God's word, to walk in disobedience. Now, Cain didn't do well. He didn't do well. He gave place to that thing. That thing got inside of him. Got inside of him. Made him kill his brother. You know what's inside of people today that are killing people? That thing right there has gotten access to them. They've eaten off of that tree right there, and it's working through them. They are workers of iniquity, is what they are. Paul warned people about the mystery of iniquity. He said it was working in his day, and he said it was going to increase in the end of time. Mystery of iniquity is going to increase, Paul said. Are you seeing iniquity increase? I'm telling you something. You know, in Noah's day, every thought and every imagination was on evil continually. And do you know it's going to be that way in our time that we live? Can you imagine living in a generation where every thought, every imagination was on evil continually? Wake up in the morning. Well, I wonder who I might rape today. Boy, I've been watching my neighbors over there hoeing in the garden. Oh, that preacher, I wonder if I could steal some of that stuff she's got today. Every thought, every imagination on evil continues. What a time to live. What a time to live. Do you notice the world out there thinking of good things every day they get up? I mean, look at the oil companies. I mean, they are really giving us a time, aren't they? They're not thinking of how they might be more blessed to give than to receive and lower the gas prices. Boy, I'm telling you something. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Sin lied at your door, Cain, and his desires for you. So he got into him, made him do some bad stuff. Now, Galatians chapter 6, y'all know those scriptures. God makes this statement. He said, be not deceived. And if God ever tells you not to be deceived about something, you better carefully look at what's written next. He said, God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. If you sow to your flesh, you talk about putting things in your flesh, like your garden, like your field. A lot of people use this for prosperity preaching, and it's not accurate. You can't use those scriptures for prosperity. That scripture in Galatians is putting things in your flesh or in your spirit, one of the two. You sow into your flesh, putting things in your flesh, or you're putting things in your spirit. The only way that scripture applies. If you sow to your flesh, God says, you will of your flesh reap corruption. Now, you know what corruption will do? Paul says, if you yield your members to corruption, you will be his servant. You'll be his servant. If you don't believe it, look at people that are yielding their members to cocaine. They're servant. Yielding their members to alcohol. They're servant. You know, God talks about you look on strong drink until a serpent bites you. You see that serpent right there? So if I had, I don't have any drink water up here, but if I did, I'd put a little bit in there to represent people looking on strong drink. The next thing, after looking, you'd probably start sipping. So it's just a matter of time to where you're going to eat something off that tree called a serpent's bite. He said, you look on strong drink till a serpent bites you. When he bites you, he puts something in you that puts demands on you. Feed me! Feed me! I want a drink! Before breakfast, mid-morning, those things that serpent's bite inside of a Christian or a worldly person out here will put demands on you. Same is true with cocaine, marijuana, all those pills. They'll put demands on you. When you eat off that tree, what you eat off that tree is going to put demands on you. Let me show you a few things on that tree. There's the pride of life. Look at that guy. Pride got inside of Eve and Adam. Pride got in there. The lust of the flesh got in it. So here's pride. He was on there. He was on that tree. He was on there. Now look at the lust of the flesh. He was on that tree. They didn't have lust of the flesh till they ate it. Got inside of them. Now, you know something that's awesome? Look what God's Word says. He says, if you eat on this, let's just say you've eaten it and it's inside of you. He said, every man sins when he's drawn aside by his own lust. So here's this lust in you that draws you out on Friday night honky-tonking. He's drawing you out there. I got paid, man. I am ready to roll, boy. Let's rumble. Let's go to the honky-tonk. Man, they'll love your mustache there. Whoa, boy. You can help me pick up some of the girls the way you look. Now, God says, every man sins when he's drawn aside by his own lust and he's enticed. Do you know this thing that's inside of people gets pregnant? Did you know things inside of you are getting pregnant? Did you know that everything God made, He made it to reproduce after its own kind? Everything He made it to reproduce after its own kind. Lust reproduces after its own kind. James chapter 1 says, every man sins when he's drawn aside by his own lust. When lust is enticed, when lust conceives, this thing here gets pregnant. Hey, this is inside of people. When lust conceives, same word as a woman taking seed, it brings forth sin, brings forth that thing running around on that table there, on the inside of people. When lust conceives, it brings forth sin. Sin, when it's finished, it brings forth death. Now, in Isaiah, and I'm not going to go there, but you've read these scriptures, he talks about people hatching serpent's eggs. Isaiah 59. Conceiving and hatching serpent's eggs. He's talking about people. You don't think this thing can hatch a serpent's egg? Let me show you. Now, I'm showing you what the scriptures say. My ministry is to bring understanding to knowledge. God told me that. So here's that lust. Got pregnant that Friday night. He's got an egg in there. Oh, my goodness, something's hatching. Something's hatching inside. It's hatching. My goodness. That thing's hatching inside of Christians if you're eating off this tree. And look what it brings forth. Look what it brings forth. My goodness. Oh, my goodness. Can you imagine one of those things being inside of you? Can you imagine one of those things being inside of you walking around praising the Lord? And then it hatches. It hatches. It reproduces after its own kind. There it is. Like father, like son. I love the Lord, but I love the honky-tonks too. I love my computer when nobody's around. You're hatching serpent's eggs. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, when David's eyes got him in trouble, he made a covenant with his eyes. He said, I'm not going to put anything evil before my eyes. Made a covenant with his eyes. Those things inside of him caused him a lot of trouble. So look what's on this tree. Look what's on this tree. My goodness. Let's put little Junior up there too. Junior's learning how to climb. Let me show you something else on that tree you can eat off of. God tells you not to eat off of it. He says in Hebrews, he said, beware lest the root of bitterness spring up in you and trouble you. You think that would trouble somebody, Glenn, if it got in them? God says, if that thing springs up in you, it'll trouble you. And it'll defile many people. So somebody smites me on one cheek. I've got a choice. I can eat off the tree and get him back, or I can forgive him and turn my other cheek. So if somebody smites you on one cheek, you have an opportunity to get even. Boy, you hit me on the cheek, I'll give you a left hook and a left trunk. I'll get you. If it's the last thing I ever do, I'll get you. Now, if you get even, you've taken a bite of iniquity. You have taken a bite of iniquity. And so iniquity comes in. That little root starts to grow. No big deal, but a root will grow. Resentment, unforgiveness. Each one of these little things has a personality. Anger. Rage. Violence. Destruction. I could kick the cow over the moon. Retaliation. Vengeance. And even murder. You know what's in people that are murdering people out here? The root of bitterness. You know what starts wars and fightings among you? That thing right there. Hallelujah. Hatred's in that thing. Rebellion's in that thing. A lot of things are in that root of bitterness. Now, so you've eaten the root of bitterness. You've eaten iniquity. So that's on this tree. Hallelujah. Now, look what happens if you got that in you. Jesus said, Peter, you got to forgive 7 times 7, or 70 times 7, or if you don't, you're going to be turned over to the tormentors until you forgive. Tormentors are on that tree. If you eat. Look at that. Tormentors are on that tree. Hallelujah. Praise God. Look at that torment. You can eat off the tree and get torment in you. Look at that. Torment. It's on that tree. God tells you not to eat off of it. Now, tormentors is plural. That's more than one. More than one torment. You show me a bitter person, I'll show you a tormented person. And that torment will cause them to have a nervous breakdown if they don't get out of that torment, out of that bondage. Look at that. Look at that torment. Torment. So if you don't forgive... You're eating that stuff. You don't have a choice whether you forgive or not. You forgive for your sake as well as those other ones, but mainly for your sake. If you don't forgive, you're eating torment. It's getting inside of your life, and it'll destroy you if you don't deal with it. You say, yeah, but look what they did to me. They molested me. They raped me. They killed my cat. They did this. They did that. Look, it wasn't the person doing that to you. It was the sin inside of them working through them. Remember, sin inside of people makes them do things they don't want to do, things they hate. Hallelujah. You got to forgive yourself, too. Did you know that that's one of the hardest people to forgive is yourself when you've messed up so many times? You've messed up out here so many times. And look, you haven't forgiven yourself, so look what you're doing to yourself. Torment yourself, because you won't release yourself. You won't forgive yourself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Christians, born-again Christians, are in a cage. You're in bondage. You can be in bondage from that tree there. You can be in a prison of anger. You can be in a prison of hatred. You can be in a prison of unforgiveness. It's a key to get out. There's that little key. Forgive. You got to forgive yourself. Why you got to forgive yourself? Because it wasn't you doing it. It was evil in you. It was evil inside of you. Now, we give an account for the evil that we allow to work through our life. I mean, you got to go to God and say, God, I have a problem. He knows it already. Lord, I've been this way and that way and this way and that way. I know it. I forgive you. I forgive you. Forgive yourself. Can you imagine somebody forgiving you, but you won't forgive yourself and you walk away in guilt and condemnation? So you got to forgive, or else you're going to be tormented. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. You can eat off that tree. You can eat off that tree if you let false teachers teach you. See that wolf? Did you know there's false teachers, wolves in sheep's clothing that come to you? Let me tell you about a revelation. Let me prophesy to you. You need to divorce him and marry him. God showed me that. That doesn't hardly balance out with Scripture, does it?
It is big, but it's happening.
It is happening. Crazy stuff is happening. Everybody's got a word for everybody, but they don't want to do it in front of people that can judge it. And if you have a problem with people knowing what you're saying to God's sheep, you got a problem. You got a problem. I want people to know what I'm saying, because if I'm in error, I expect them to correct me. I mean, y'all wouldn't love me if you saw me in error and deception up here and let me leave town without telling me and reproving and correcting me. I mean, y'all wouldn't love me. We've got to be open for reproof and correction and instruction. Paul told Timothy to do that stuff. So you get off that tree with false teachers, false prophets, false apostles. They can feed you that stuff off that tree. They can feed you doubt and unbelief. You want to see two of your biggest problems? Let me show two of your biggest problems. Boy, that torment's tormenting me. Let me show you two of your biggest enemies. I want you to meet doubt. That's doubt. This is unbelief. Two of your biggest enemies.
All the while being tormented.
That stuff works together, man. I doubt if I'd get healed if I went up there. Well, I don't believe in healing. I doubt if God could save me. I don't believe everybody can get saved. What a damnable thing, talking to those people. He wants everybody to be saved. Hallelujah. I don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I got all that when I got born again. You know what God showed me about that? He said, it's like you walk out in the ocean is His Spirit, and you're out there ankle deep, and you take a teaspoon, and you reach down in the ocean, and take a taste of the ocean, and you say, well, I'm in the ocean, the ocean's in me. I got the ocean in me. God talks about being filled. I don't want you to be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is, to be filled with my Spirit. Speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So He wants us to be filled with His Spirit. Hallelujah. Peter had this thing right here. He was walking on water. He said, Peter, why did you want to doubt? Why did you want to doubt, Peter? Peter had a little of that doubt in him. If you don't have doubt and unbelief, anything's possible to you. Let me show you that. with God, all things are possible. This represents God coming as a servant. You know, this, he's waiting on tables and that kind of stuff. God says, God's arm is not short that he can't deliver. I can do anything. I'm God. He said, I'm God. Hallelujah. And that thing saying, I'm torment too. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, yeah. Let me show you what God can do. Come up here again. You come up here and sit right there. Are you his wife?
No.
You're not, huh? All right. God, with his long arm, he said, it's not short that I can't deliver. He took the dust of the earth and he shaped it. Gave him a mouth so he could talk to him. Gave him ears so he could hear God talk. Gave him hands so he could get out there and labor and work. Hallelujah. And he said, nothing's too hard for me. I can do anything because I'm God. My arm's not short. So he reached in Adam's side, took a rib out of there. That's all he had to work with. That's all he had to work with. And he said, I'm going to make him a helpmate. Let's see something Adam will like. Let's see here. Pretty striped hair here. A little blonde in there. A little dark in there, you know. Nice little blend in there. And I'm going to give her some ears so Adam can tell her when to get out the kitchen and rattle those pots and pans, you know. Ham and eggs and grits and all that stuff. And I also want to be able to talk to her. So I'm going to give her some ears. And I'm going to give her some pretty eyes there so Adam could look into those eyes. I'm going to give her a nice nose, put a dimple here. And I'm going to put some beautiful teeth in there. And I'm going to give her some hands so she can cook for old Adam. Take care of him. Wash his clothes and all that stuff. <Do I? laughs> That's all God had to work with. I thank God saying, Eve, stay away from that thing. He said, nothing's too hard for me. And then he presented her to Adam, told him to stay away from that thing. Nothing's too hard for God. Thank y'all. Nothing's too hard for him. Hallelujah. Look what he did in Egypt. Destroyed Egypt to get his people out. He wouldn't even let the dogs bark at those children of Israel coming out of Egypt. He healed every single one of those people coming out of Egypt. There was not one sick or weak person out of all those 2-3 million. Not one sick or weak person. God's fixing people's teeth. You know, they weren't dentists out in the wilderness. They weren't dentists out there. God's fixing people's teeth. You think he healed their bodies and let them have abscess, aching teeth? God's putting gold crowns in people's mouth and filling them. He did it in mine and my wife's too. Hallelujah. He fed them with manna. He caused water to come out of a rock. Nothing's too hard for him. What's too hard for him? We've got to get rid of our doubt and unbelief. See you there. And keep going if y'all didn't doubt. Hallelujah. God's time to favor Zion is here. He's going to start favoring his people.
Amen. Yes.
Those that are faithful and everything. And I want to give you a visual picture to remember when you pray. God says, when you pray, right then, believe you receive and you'll have what you desire. So he said, I'm in heaven and you're on earth. Now look up from whence cometh your help. Say, Lord, help me.
Lord, help me.
Your arm is not short.
Your arm is not short. Amen. Amen.
When you pray, believe you receive.
Amen.
And you will have what you desire. If you're praying according to his will.
Yes.
And we know the word is his will. Hallelujah. You're going to see God's strong arm. He's establishing that among his people.
Yes, he is.
You're going to see God's strong arm come forth.
Yes.
And you're not going to have to wear a badge. I'm an apostle or I'm a prophet or I'm this or that. You're going to know God's with
that's
people.
Right.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There's a lot of things. A lot of things on here. Doubt and unbelief's on there. If you let people teach it to you. People are eating off this tree all the time. Hallelujah. Praise God. I wish you'd shut up. I'm going to turn him off. Hallelujah. Now, adultery is on that tree. You want to hear somebody that's eating off that tree of adultery? God says you're in a deep pit. So here's somebody that's using the temple of God for adultery or fornication. God says you're in a deep pit. Depression. Oppression. Listen. Help me! Help me! Get out of your fornication. Get out of your adultery. Stop eating off the tree. Help! He'll help you if you repent. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Turn from that stuff you've got into your life and it's controlling you and manipulating you and using you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise His name. Praise His name. Now, here's something God told me to show God's people. He said the children of Israel coming out of Egypt, they were murmuring, complaining.
Both of them, come on.
Sit down. They were murmuring. Say, the service is too long, say it.
Service is way too long.
Music's too loud, say it.
Music's way too loud.
Murmuring. You know what happened to? They were destroyed by the destroyer. And God says He made this to destroy. God said in His Word He made this to destroy. Say, way too loud.
Way too loud.
I don't like the color of the chairs. Say.
I don't like the color of the chairs.
I don't like nothing.
I don't like nothing.
The destroyer. It happened to those children of Israel. It happened to the children of Israel.
Yeah.
And it was written down so we wouldn't make those mistakes, and it happened to us. They were our examples. When you're murmuring and complaining, you're eating iniquity. Hold your arm up. Stand up here. I'm going to judge all these Christians out here. Say.
I'm going to judge all these Christians out here.
Backbiter, tail bearer. That happened to those children of Israel. Hey, they were fornicating, and in one day, to teach them that God doesn't approve of fornicating, He killed 23,000. Come up here. Turn around. Say, I'm just sexually active. Just say it.
I'm just sexually active.
You know, God says the end result of sexual sins, He says your flesh and body will be consumed. Do you know God says that? God says that. See, everybody else is doing it. And they're going to get eaten too. Hallelujah. Anybody want to? This is the Word. I'm just holding up Scripture to you. Makes you want to get holy, doesn't it? Doesn't it make you want to be holy? Thank y'all. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Who's got a cigarette lighter? I've got one if I can find it. Somebody have one? Come on, fess up. Fess up. Now listen, the Lord says the light of your body is your eye. He said if your eye be single, your whole body can be filled with light. And He's talking about His light now. With no part dark. But if your focus is on that tree, He said if that light in you be darkness, how great is that darkness? So if you keep your focus on that tree, and you eat off of it, your whole body can be filled with darkness. Romans chapter 1, those people who once knew God, and their foolish hearts became darkened. Don't let your hearts be foolish. Forsake that evil tree, and don't eat off of that thing that destroyed Eve and Adam. Hallelujah. Where's this go? You? Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. The Word of God. That's the way you're going to overcome right there. Two-edged sword. Word of God is sharp and powerful. You know how Jesus overcame? He'd say, it is written. It's written. It's written. It's written. It's written. That's the way he overcame. Now, you're going to overcome by getting the Word in you. The Word of God says it can pierce you. Look here. The Word of God can pierce you. Can get inside of you. And to as many as received the Word, to them gave he
power.
Power. To as many as received the Word, to them gave he power.
Power is charged.
How much power charge do you want?
Right.
How much power charge do you want? To as many as received the Word, to them gave he
power is charged.
Power. The Word can separate your spirit from your soul. Look here. Apparently, God wants our spirit separated from our soul, or he wouldn't have said that. Now, you got to have the right kind of word to do it, and a lot of that's deliverance word. Hallelujah. And the word can discern the thoughts and the intents of your heart. See, that word can get down there and tell you what you're thinking about doing you shouldn't be doing. Right now, you know God's going to wash his bride with the water of the Word? That Word, when they pierced Jesus on that cross, out of his side came water and blood. And that was mixed with the Spirit. That's the three in the earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. Now, will you let me wash you with the Spirit, the water, and the blood?
Yes.
You want to be ready for the Lord?
Yes.
All right. Listen.
Yeah.
The secret places God's people want to hide. He wants you every bit clean. Can you imagine getting married and your bride would not wash under her, you know, her arm? So you want to be clean? All right, listen. My mother used to make us wash our ears. Get that wax out of up under the neck, those dirt rings. Now this, we've got to open up and be transparent to the Lord.
Yeah.
It's time to go free from our bondages, from our filth. You know what Paul made this statement to born-again Christians? He said, those people that have this hope in them of God being in us and walking with us and being our God and us his people, he said, let those that have this hope in them purify their spirit and their flesh from all filthiness. Wow, he's talking to believers there. Now, I'll tell you about the spirit, defiling your spirit. Your tongue is a breach in your spirit. Do you know you can defile your spirit with your tongue? God says you can be a perfect person if you can tame your tongue. Hallelujah. Let's stay clean.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now listen, when you get Jesus inside of you, you get life in you. Oh, you get life in you when you ask Christ to come in. You know, eternal life walked this earth 2,000 years ago. Look at that. Eternal life. And receive Christ. If that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, it'll quicken your mortal body. Come in, Lord, and be my Savior. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I got Christ in me. My hope of glory.
Amen.
He's my hope of glory. He's yours too.
Amen.
You know that you're Christian by the Spirit bearing witness with you. I feel something. I got to belong to him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know what you can do here at Lake Hamilton, and when you leave out of here, you can give life to people. Here, sister, have some life.
I feel so much better.
When you get delivered, give somebody delivered, you're giving them life.
That's right. Amen.
You're giving them life. Give her a little life. Say, cheer up.
Thank you.
Give her a little life there.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. That's what we're doing, ministering one to another. We're giving them life. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So when you're delivering somebody, you're giving them life.
Yes.
When you encourage them in the Lord, and that's what Paul said to do, in the, as you see the end approaching, encourage one another daily in the Lord. Hallelujah. We need it daily, don't we? Now listen, this is a possibility. God says, let this mind be in you. God says, won't y'all donate a mic? A tie mic. Praise God. There we go. Praise God. Now listen. Here's your challenge. God says, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Now that's what he was walking this earth with 2,000 years ago. With that mind, you can walk on water. You can raise the dead. You can cleanse the lepers. You can multiply food. You can overcome. He said, let this mind be in you. Now, that's not automatic. You've got to do what he tells you to do it. He said, you renew your work, your mind with the word. And it's painful to renew your mind. Mind, you're going to believe God. He did take stripes for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can make it in life. You got to keep convincing this carnal mind. Little by little, you're getting his mind in you when you renew yours. You can be healed tonight. It's your time.
Yeah.
You can be healed. I don't care if you had prayer 100 times, you can be healed today.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So you just keep pounding away on that carnal mind till you get his mind.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. His ways are not our ways, but he wants them to be. His thoughts are not our thoughts, but he wants them to be. So keep working on that mind. Painful.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Guard your heart with all diligence. Don't let that stuff on that tree in your heart. It'll be an issue in your life, God says. Guard your heart with all diligence. For out of your heart are the issues of life. You let pornography in, it'll be an issue. You let hate in, it'll be an issue. You let deception in, it'll be an issue. You let pride in, it'll be an issue. You let fornication in, it'll be an issue. Guard your heart with all diligence. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'll close with this. We're the bride of Christ. She's hidden in Christ, in God. You see her sitting there? The bride of Christ. See her sitting there? She's sitting there, and I'm tangled up again. Praise God, Glenn. Hallelujah. There's a 15 there on that little stand. She's been waiting 15 years on the Lord, keeping herself from the world. How long will you wait for him and be faithful? How long will you wait for him and keep yourself? He's coming back here one of these days. Just don't be the foolish virgins that couldn't open up to it. Wanted a little prayer time. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That same Christ that walked this earth 2,000 years ago, calling himself the Lamb of God, telling people he loved them. He wants to get inside of people and live his life through us. Christ in us, the hope. Christ in us, the hope of glory. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Whether he's inside of your body or whether he's outside of your body, he's the same. If you get him formed in you like Paul, you can live by his faith. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He says you can't drink. Amen. You can't drink from the cup of the Lord and the cup of devil. That tree is the cup of devil. You can't eat from the table of the Lord and from the table of devils. God told Adam, I put life and death before you. In essence, this is with the bottom line. Choose life. Children of Israel, I put life and death before you. Blessing and cursing before you. Choose life. Choose blessing. I believe he put life and death before Satan. My personal feelings from the scriptures. Because when God made him, iniquity was not in him. He ate it. That is hidden from people today, and I think it was hidden from Satan. If he had known that he would eat iniquity and be forever condemned, he'd have never eaten off that. You can eat the same stuff Adam and Eve ate. The only difference is it comes through people instead of Satan. Satan working through people to feed you. Oh, why don't you go out and do this? Why don't you go out and do that? Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? That's him. Hallelujah. Choose life. Choose life. Lord, we thank you for these people. God, let this word make sense to them. Let them see it, God. Let them see, Lord, that they can't eat of that forbidden fruit, Lord, because it will destroy them. Let them see that, God. And let them see that the scriptures, the law was good if it's used right, because it shows people what sin is. Lord, let the law show us what sin is. And then when we ask you to forgive us, your grace helps us to overcome these things, Lord God, that are sin and evil. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.